This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, welcome to another edition of That Millwall Podcast, Sunday Night Live. Bit of a tough one for the Lions today, going into the international break after a 2-0 defeat at Elland Road. Before we get into that, there will be other faces potentially joining us tonight, but for now, I'm with our Northern correspondent, the man who will talk us through his amazing bet that he bottled.
Yeah, I think.
But Ben, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. Never like losing to Leeds and don't like losing out on money. But apart from that, I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right.
I've started it now, so we will get the we'll start with this before we move on to the game. Ben had a bet on this afternoon on 5 Millwall players to be booked. Ben, did all 5 of those players get booked in the end?
Yeah.
And at what point did you cash out your bet, please?
Well, I do want to caveat it. So it was a combination of fouls and cards. And a shot on target. Really not allowed to have a shot on target, which obviously happened. At the point, I was sat there with 2 of my mates in the pub and Sky Sports panned to the bench. And we had 4 players ready to come on. So I looked at my bet and thought, do you know what? I'm going to cash out. We then proceeded, Leeds then proceeded to have 3 throw-ons and 2 corners. And the only thing I was waiting for was a George Honeyman booking. George Honeyman then decided to forearm smash Willy Notto in the corner and got booked.
So, as you can imagine, guys, Ben is very, very disappointed with his cash out.
I'm fuming.
So Lions 2-0 defeat at Elland Road. Unfortunately, wasn't quite the dream of going there and picking up a result. Wasn't quite the dream of what I'd said on Friday that Ryan Leonard was going to score, and he was 33-1, and that was the prediction from me. However, and I don't know, guys in the chat, I will obviously put your message up, evening to all you guys. Ben, I don't think overall we played that badly.
Nah.
What do you think?
No, not at all, mate. I mean, look, we obviously went to Blackburn. Don't want to make too much of a point of that, but we were both very disappointed in how we played against Blackburn. I think I come away from it today and go, do you know what? We played all right. We had spells, long, long spells in the second half of doing well, and probably were the better of the two sides in the second half. We rode our luck in the first half. They had a lot of chances. But, mate, I can't complain with how we played today. Leeds are just a good side. But, yeah, as I say, I don't want to compare it too much to Blackburn. I was disappointed how we played at Blackburn. We gave it a go today. We played well. Leeds were a really good side, as I said. But I felt like we were all right today. We played well.
Yeah, I think that first, I think it was Richard Cawley, didn't he? He tweeted literally about 30 seconds before Nonto scored their first goal, saying that Lions would have been pleased with the first half an hour, and not much was happening. I think we silenced the crowd. We turned it into an ugly game of football. We'll come on to, there was a comment about Jake Cooper. We'll come on to him a little bit later, but they just didn't really seem to have an awful lot going for them, did they? We executed the Neil Harris plan almost perfectly. I think it's an interesting point. I think their goal, whilst it was a very good goal, come off of the back of a really bad mistake that could have led to a goal. And we sort of managed to get away with that. Then they won the ball off of the goal kick from Sarkic and scored, and that was that. But even you know, a good finish, Nonto, we'll know how good he is. We had them rattled a little bit, I think, at least for 20 minutes or so. Ben, I was going to say you're on mute.
First 20 minutes, I actually thought it was quite open. I thought we were too open. I thought when we were going forward, we were letting them get on the break a little bit too much. And obviously, they've got so much pace in their front four. But I actually thought, as I say, we were probably a little bit too open. But it was a very even first half. They had a lot of, didn't we have any clear cut or like open chances? But yeah, it was obviously we didn't create an awful lot in that first half. But it was, I felt like we had them at arm's length. It was like sort of a boxer. Do you know what I mean? We had them in a position that we wanted them to be in. So, yeah, it was all right.
I have no idea what's just happened there. The whole thing just cut out. Oh, it's a shambles. It's an absolute shambles. No, I don't know what happened there, guys. Yeah, apologies for that. You got to. I'm having a mind blank now. Sorry, I was reading a comment that I wanted to come back to.
But first half was fairly even. I was quite happy with. They didn't really have any clear cut chances. They had chances, but they weren't sort of cutting us open. I thought we were a bit too open in the first half. Like when we got forward, we didn't really get into too many sort of attacking positions, but we got forward and then they kept breaking. And their front three, four obviously got so much pace that I just felt we weren't in good positions defensively. And we looked like every time they got it, we were going to be in a bit of trouble or a bit of bother. So whilst obviously not much happened, I felt quite comfortable for the first 20 minutes, to be fair.
Yeah, I think there was a comment. I'm just trying to come back to it now. This one. Think Cooper had a bet on himself today to get sent off inside 45. Shocking performance. Not what you want from a Millwall captain, especially at Leeds. I have to say, I disagree with that's not what you want from a Millwall captain at Leeds. I don't mind necessarily Cooper throwing himself about a little bit, putting himself into tackles. We don't really see that an awful lot from him. Really, I don't think he's the sort that is that, you know, type of player.
Into tackle soon? I mean,
no.
We saw that in our group, right? I mean, the booking isn't, I don't think actually Cooper knew what he was doing, but it wasn't a booking. Cooper didn't actually do anything. Like, he just laid on Nottō. He didn't do anything. Nottō was the one who was the aggressor of the two. It wasn't like Cooper was pinning him down or anything like that.
No.
You say dived into tackles. Yeah, I think the penalty shout, if that's in the Premier League, is almost 100% being given. He's just fucking jumped in with two knees. yeah, I'll go with that, Dan. Did he jump in tackles? I don't think he did.
I think the fact of the matter is he was on a booking, and there was a couple of times where I think that it possibly could have been given as a penalty. Again, you know, we don't get many penalties, so maybe we got away with that one. The problem is, and people will, this is a talking point, the issue with Nonto and the coming together. At the Den, you've got more chance of Nonto potentially being sent off. He's got his arm raised in Cooper's face. At Elland Road, you're not going to get that. You're absolutely not going to get that. And you knew as soon as the referee went over to the linesman and they're having a little chat, it's a booking each way. That's just how it is. I think the other thing to take away from the first half for me, and I don't necessarily think it got better in the second. I just think we got better as a team. We did give them too much space. I think we gave them a little bit too much respect. We allowed them to play their football. We allowed them to get into spaces. And okay, you know, we have to accept it's Leeds. They're now top of the league, as Sky kept telling us. I'm sure our listeners would have heard probably the 347 times where Sky said, if Leeds score a second goal, they go top of the league, which was, which if you didn't know, Leeds have gone top of the league. But overall, I didn't think the first half, I don't think we created much. But again, as I say, the it wasn't that bad. Second half, as you said, I think we're the better team.
Yeah, I think we had long spells in the second half where we controlled possession. We got the ball, we got it forward at the right times. We had it in the right areas. We had, I felt Obafemi should have got a shot away a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I thought we did really well. I thought we contained them. As a second half, if you want to go to a big club in the league, I thought that was almost a perfect example of how you sort of want to play the second half. We had a couple of chances. The second goal is nothing short of fucking horrendous from our defending. And yeah, if you want to go away from home and sort of play a big team, I think it's near enough spot on, to be perfectly honest. I thought we did really well. As I say, if you want to compare sort of Blackburn to Leeds, if we played like we did today against Blackburn, I think we win comfortably. Like, I really do. I thought, man for man, I couldn't pick out anyone today who had a bad game. You could probably say Coops, but I thought we did really well. I thought we did really well. And it was a performance where I just didn't want to get spanked today. I didn't want to be pinned back. They had all the possession, lose 3-0 or 4-0 and sort of be really deflated. As I say, I've kind of come away from it and gone, heads held high. We've done well. Bomber seemed quite not happy in his post-match, but he's seen what I feel like I've seen in terms of we've had a go, right? And that's all we want from the players and the team now.
Yeah, and I think it's very easy to come away from a defeat, especially when you go into the international break feeling a bit negative, feeling a bit dejected. But I think most supporters, I mean, I'd saw loads of tweets prior to the game, even during the game, before they'd scored, saying, you know, that the value of their squad and their top of the league and anything would be a bonus and this, that and the other. I think when you can come away and you can kind of say, we did all right. I thought Obafemi is coming into his own, as you said. A couple of times he probably needs to pull the trigger, a little bit like at Blackburn. He just hit it when he got the space at Blackburn. But today he was just waiting for the perfect moment to shoot. I thought Sav in midfield was pretty good as well. And Matty Sarkic, you know, all the talk about Melier being top clean sheets in the championship. I mean, he didn't have an awful lot to do, but Sarkic today proved his worth. Like, he kept us in the game at 1-0. The chance from Somerville should have been, well, it was a good save at 2. He had the Rutter save, which again should have been 2, kept us in the game. I know it might be, some people might look at it as that we're clutching at straws, but there's things to take away from this to go, do you know what? For the rest of the season, we might be all right.
Well, mate, as I keep saying, we went on Tuesday. I was very vocal about how we played. I thought we were terrible. But today, I came away from it going, if we play that for the rest of the season, I just can't see us being relegated. If we have the application defensively, Tanganga again, fucking hell. How much has he improved for a few games? Today, I mean, like last-ditch tackle, he's just, you're now really sort of to see his class in terms of that Premier League difference. He is just next level in terms of, yeah, his defensive ability. But as I say, yeah, I come away from it when we went to Blackburn going, if we play that for the rest of the season, fuck me, I can't see us win another point. But today, going, if we play that for the rest of the season, we'll be absolutely fine. If we play that against Huddersfield and Rotherham, I can't see anything but 6 points. I know we got West Brom in before that, but yeah, there was nothing today, apart from obviously the result, was disappointing. I was very happy with how we performed and played, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, I mean, I've seen a couple of comments about the Sky commentators and punditry. Snodgrass is a prick for accusing Jake Cooper of sending Cooper three times.
When I saw the pundits, I was like, fuck me.
How biased
is this going to be? Snodgrass played for Leeds. Joby McAnuff, who absolutely hates us, and Paul Robinson, who played for Leeds. So
absolutely. And do you notice as well, are they, and I'm sure our listeners will as well, that Harris was put on first. He was one of the first interviews right at the beginning of the show talking to the panel. And then it was Melier, it was Fark, it was the young lad, that Archie Gray, I think it was. It was the lead show. We know that. That's what happens in the Championship, unfortunately, when Leeds come to town. But I agree, Carl, it was, and you as well, Ben. You could just tell straight away what was coming. Cooper's been great for us over the years, but now needs to drop a few divisions if he wants to carry on playing. We'll come back to that, John. We'll come back to that. Connor, who was your man of the match, Stephen? Ben, I'll ask that to you as well. But for me, it's hard to really look past Sarkic. I think he was very good and kept us in the game for long spells. And the other reason I say that is because it's very easy to go, oh, he made a couple of saves. But if you look at the Leicester game at Leicester just before Christmas, where he cost us two goals and was all over the place, flapping and positionally, and everyone was, you know, me and myself was saying that under Harris, Bart could have been coming straight back into the team. I think Sarkic has proved us all a little bit wrong, well, certainly myself. And he's also been recalled back into his national side. So clearly other people are noticing that.
Yeah, I mean, just going on the Sarkic point, I thought at one stage of the season that we'd made another very expensive mistake this year, to be perfectly honest. He looked very unconfident. He looked flappy. He didn't look like his shot stopping was up to much. Fast forward sort of five games now with Harris, and you just think sort of the complete opposite. He looks solid. His distribution looks all right. His shot stopping looks fairly decent. Yeah, probably man of the match. I dug out Obafemi, but I thought he worked hard. He did well up top. He led the line quite well. He brought others into play. He got us up the pitch. I thought Fleming did all right. There was probably a couple that you could probably say were sort of 6-7s out of 10 today. But I suppose if you want to pick someone, you'd probably have to pick Sarkic because he did keep us in the game.
Yeah, I think the thing is, when you lose a game, I'm not going to lie, I kind of don't look at it and go, who was man of the match or who did this or who did that. I would say, as I say, I thought Sarkic was very good. Obafemi had a good game for us, as did George Saville. But I think it's the application, you said it earlier, Ben, the application of the players to carry out the instructions from their manager. And as I say, I think you can't be positive after you get beat, but you can look at the remaining games and go, do you know what? We should have enough playing like that. And I think that's the important thing. People will look at the result and go, we've lost and this, that, and the other. And that's absolutely fine. And I really, really understand that. But this comment I'm just putting up on the screen here. Overall, what we expected. In fact, I thought the second half, that's the best we've looked at times. There were positives, but all bottom teams played this weekend and lost or drew. And that's exactly the outlook that I think lots of people should have. And if they don't, they may want to consider. Because yesterday, I don't know about, I think we put it in the chat, didn't we, Ben? At 5 o'clock, all the teams below us lost or drew.
Yeah. And look, it was, we obviously did our sort of pre-record last week, and did I actually think we're probably going to win today? Probably not. But did we have that little bit of hope from the results and performances that we've had? Absolutely. And that's kind of all you want, right? You want to be going into these games with a little bit of hope and a little bit of positivity. And did I have that? Yeah, absolutely. Did we have that bit of hope and positivity? Yes. Was it what I expected today in terms of getting beaten? Yeah. But was the performance better? Yeah, Absolutely. Stephen, I've got to jump for 2 minutes. Little one's going nuts, so I apologise.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, I'll hold the fort on my own, mate. It's absolutely fine. Yeah, no worries. Okay, this is new. I'm on my own, guys, so be kind. I'll try to get through the comments and respond directly to them. Dan should be joining us shortly as well. Stephen, do you think Denor should start over Billy now? I must admit, Simon, I've been pushing for Denor to start. I'm not the Billy Mitchell fan on the panel. Don't get me wrong, I think he's been pretty good over the last few games, but I think it was clear in the second half that Casper gives us a little bit more on the ball. So, I would say I do think Denor should be playing. All the team have done well for the last five games. They played well today. We never really thought we would get anything from the game. One of their players probably cost it what the Millwall squad does. Absolutely, completely agree. Connor, where was Leonard today? Didn't really see much of him. I thought Leonard struggled today. After I'd given him all the hype on Friday's show to say, put money on him, he's 33-1. I think he's going to have a good game. I think he's going to score. I think it was the one time today, for a long time, that Leonard really, really struggled up against Somerville. And that's not to be, that's not digging him out at all. I thought, the Leeds attack was very, very good. No shame in being taken off. And Danny was pretty solid. I don't think, the sub changed too much, but Leonard was off the pace today. Denor has to start. Looked a different side when he came on. Nothing against Billy Mitchell, but how Casper's not starting is fine fucking me. Yeah, I agree. I think Harris would have had food for thought today, because I definitely think when Casper come on, we did look a lot better. Tang was immense today. As soon as the Sky panel, I put it on mute. Leonard lost me money. He was meant to score today. Apologies. I was off with the vision. I watched it on Leeds TV, and there was commentary less biased. They were even praising Millwall for their dog spirit. Well, Simon, that's incredible, because Sky Sports was basically the Leeds channel. It was embarrassing at times. Sarkic kept it 2-0 without them saves for a fireball day, 100%. Just waiting for a Leeds wipe to come in. Yeah, we are ready. We are prepared, Chris. Hope you're well. Rotherham and Huddersfield won't be easy. Trust me. I don't think anyone thinks the games are going to be easy. I just think that if we apply the application of today and last week, I thought in the second half, if you apply that kind of the application of the process and create chances, I know we didn't maybe create as many today that we would have liked, but you will in those games if you follow the same process. Denor and Danny made an impact when they came on, 100%. I thought Watmore and Longman did as well in their own way. Admittedly, not as much as we'd like, but they did. Colin Long, we will stay up. I hope so. I think we've certainly given ourselves a good chance after the break. All that panel needed was Rao. It would have been a landslide. Yeah, I actually thought Gary Rao would have been on it today. I was convinced. Or maybe Steve Morrison, I'm not sure. We will do West Brom. God, yeah, Sarkic man of the match might be a ridiculous comparison, but it reminds me of course for Real Madrid a little bit, poor and costing goals and turning into a good shot stopper. Well, if he turns out half as good as what Courtois did, that would be absolutely amazing. Stop drinking. Under Edwards, we would have lost 6-0. We wanted the Millwall passion and fight, and that's what we got. I do agree. I think this is where, look, and this is just my thoughts. When Harris was appointed, I think we were under no illusions that at that point we were going down. We were struggling, and it was going to take a monumental effort for the team to kind of click. And we needed a spark to get 10 points from the five games that we have, including having to go to Leeds and Southampton, is an excellent return. And I don't think we should really be too disappointed with it. I understand that when you lose a game and you lose to Leeds, it's not great. I'm sure we've all got people. I've got a couple of people, friends that support Leeds, unfortunately, that have sent me messages and stuff. And yeah, okay, we don't want to lose to them. But if you look at it overall, if Joe Edwards was in charge today, as much as I hate to say it, it probably would have been a little bit of an embarrassing scoreline. So you have to try and take some positives. I'm worried we're light up front. If the Irish lad gets injured, it could tip us over the edge. No fault to Harris. Danny, I agree 100%. We are heavily reliant on Michael Obafemi at the moment, who is coming into his own. He has been called up to international duty, which does worry me a little bit. But you have to, that sometimes you've got to roll with the punches. You can only deal with what you've got. So if it's Obafemi, it's Obafemi. If it's Fleming, it's Fleming. If we've got to take someone from the 21s, which I don't know if Harris will, so be it. But I do agree we are a little bit light up front, and it is a little bit of concern, especially with Obafemi going out on international duty. Dan's still being breastfed, isn't he? I'm not going to get into that. You can ask him when he comes on. Some bird will tackle that needs some attention, Ben. Again, you can question Ben on that when he comes back. I'm not gonna speculate. Danil has to start. I think so. Baz, thought we frustrated Leeds with our shit arsery, especially in the first half. You could see their players were rattled. I agree 100%. The game plan was absolutely spot on for the first half an hour. It was only that they then scored the goal, which, again, I know you can't just sit and defend, but we'd silenced the crowd, as we said earlier. They didn't have that many chances really on goal. There's a couple of half chances. But I agree. I thought we were okay for 30 minutes. They get the goal, and then obviously the game changes. Barry, evening all. My concern is, where do our goals come from? Yeah, again, as we just touched on, missing a lot of forwards, which is a little bit of a concern. But hopefully there'll be some good news on those, at least getting them back in April. Obafemi will come back after his Irish call up, and hopefully we'll start turning some of the chances that he's having into some goals. Sorry, guys, I am trying to keep up with this, and I'm waiting for someone else to join me, because all you've got is me waffling on at the moment. What today show we're weak, and it obviously it's up front with Rab C, Bradson, and Mark, who are a good team, was bound to highlight it, but it wasn't 6-0 like Ipswich. Yeah, I agree. We are light up front, but I do still think we have some players to score some goals. And right on cue, thankfully, I now have another friend in young Daniel. Dan, how are you? You are on mute. I did have a friend in Daniel, and we'll try that again. No, he's still going. As you can tell, guys, we've had a little bit of a shocker over at That Normal Podcast this evening. But hopefully now, Dan, are you there? Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, there we go. There we go. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Thank you. You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. Ben was with us, had to shoot off because his little one was going nuts.
He should be back quicker.
he should be back with us. We have been covering the game. Whilst I go through some of the comments, can I get your thoughts or the overall thoughts after the 2-0 loss today?
First off, I thought we was probably gave them probably a little bit too much respect. I thought we kind of sat off them a little bit. I can understand going up there and sitting off them because they are a good team. They've only conceded 3 goals since the start of the year and they've won 12 out of 13 games. So they are a good team. There's no denying that. I think second half, we actually played quite well.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Arguably the better team for long periods of it, and I think Leeds actually scored just after our best spell in the game. to be honest. I think maybe if they hadn't got that goal, I think we might have gone on and nicked one towards the end. But, you know, I say disappointing because I didn't think we could get much out of the game. But after seeing the way the second half had panned out, I'm a little bit disappointed. But I think we can take a lot from it. It was good to see Kasper get some more minutes than he has done recently as well. I can see, obviously, the comments section are banging on about my favourite player, Ryan Longman, about how useless he is. So, that's where we're at. I'm trying not to get too disheartened by that performance.
No, Bobby, Mickey, I did speak to Mickey a little while ago. There is possibility that he might be joining us live from the journey home from Leeds. He did say he'd be back around 10 o'clock. He is with Omar at the moment. Dan, I'm going to recommend you for a player I see running the show on your own. Mickey could never. If you could send that to him, that would be great. Couple of other bits, Dan, before we, you may have missed or if you wasn't watching it previously. We've given praise to Sarkic, Obafemi. I also obviously went down the George Savile route. I thought he had a good game. For you, who was a standout player in orange or light blue?
I mean, I thought Sarkic was our best player today. I mean, I think he made some excellent saves, particularly in the second half. And I, Obafemi, I thought he had a good game, but he just felt like to me he needs to get his shots off a little bit quicker sometimes, I think. Sometimes when he gets into the penalty box, he wants to try and beat the man one more time. And just like you've got half a yard of space, sometimes you've just got to take that shot on, mate. I don't really think I can sit there, maybe other than Cooper, and say that anyone actually had that bad of a game today for us, other than Cooper. I mean, I thought, by the way, Nonto should have been sent off for his part in that, right in front of the linesman. The linesman couldn't have had a more perfect view. But at the same point, if Cooper's been booked there, really, Cooper probably should have picked up a second yellow for one of the three or four fouls that he did commit during the rest of the first half.
Absolutely. Finn, you can't win them all. He's always put 100% in Millwall safe, easy. Any thoughts on Cobby Wolves? I will briefly interject here. I now Coventry are the only team that in the competition now that are still in the Championship. I hope you do go on to win it. And it was a good win for you guys yesterday, although being drawn against Man United.
It was Man United, City or Chelsea, so.
No, I know, but...
They got the best draw there.
Possibly, but they're doing it. They're doing it for the Championship. So I hope you guys go on and do it. Andy's going to bed. Wow, I sent him to sleep. Harris is still registered as a player. Wouldn't be great if he came on for the last 2 minutes in the West Brom game. I've heard this rumour that Neil Harris is still registered as a player. I don't know if it's confirmed or if it's someone just having a...
I don't think it is, because if he was registered as a player, you could have put so much money on him putting his boots on last season for Gillingham when they'd scored 8 goals in the first half of last season. As a striker, he would have been chomping at the bit to put his boots back on then.
Absolutely. Hey, Mr. Pink, how's you going?
Camera on the new computer's not good.
Outclassed through lack of quality. If that's what money buys you, it's going to take us a good investment to reach Leeds level. I think it's quite obvious, and Dan, I'm sure you'll agree with this, as you've obviously watched a little bit of Brighton with your work, that investment at this level, it's like a Premier League 2. And unless you put in that level of investment to get yourself into the Premier League, but actually then keep going and, you know, selling players, bringing new ones in, it is very, very difficult to compete at the top of the league.
Yeah, because I think I put it in our podcast chat actually earlier today when James scored the second goal. Reuter, who got the assist, he cost about 35, 40 million quid. Dan James was 20, 25 million quid. That's what you're up against now in terms of teams in the Championship, with the parachute payments in particular as well. And then we're going to have the new TV deal next year, which is going to be even more money knocking around in this league. So, yeah, that's basically what we're up against. I think, to be fair to him, Nonto, who shouldn't have been on the pitch. I've counted how many times I'm going to say that tonight. But credit to him, I think they've got a good find on him because I managed to get him for about 5 million, I think it was. And he was a good player from the Premier League. He's done well in the Championship, so sometimes you just got to tip your hat and say good scouting. Sometimes, hopefully, we've got Mayer on the screen there. Hopefully, we might be able to say that about him soon. But yeah, that's it really. The money is the money, and and the scouting as well, I would say. I think there's two elements to look at there, especially because you've mentioned Brighton and everyone goes, what a brilliant way Brighton are being run in terms of like Caicedo coming in for five, being sold for 115.
Absolutely. We do have a question for you, Dan, in the chat. I don't know if you've actually seen it. It's from Omar. Dan, did you go to Plymouth away?
I did, mate. I did. Yeah. Still the best away of the season.
I don't know if it was the best away game of the season. Well, right, Sheffield Wednesday. Sheffield.
That was good.
Or Southampton was quality.
I don't know. That three very good ones, which is rare. We get three very, very good ones in one season.
Absolutely. Dan Reece, all our strikers injured then. Surely it's time for Hutch and Tanganga. That's an interesting point, and we'll come on to it, because Jake Cooper obviously has been the topic of most of the chat and before you join us, Dan, and obviously after. I don't necessarily think Jake Cooper was as bad as what people are making him out to be.
This is the problem. He was lucky to still be on the pitch.
Yes, he was lucky to still be on the pitch, but I don't think he was awful. I just think it was a little bit reckless, having been booked, to then make a couple of the tackles that he went and made. And I think, you know, there was talk at halftime, wasn't there? Oh, are they going to take him off? Is he a liability? And all of the panel were like, oh, Harris is going to take him off. Harris is going to take him off.
Oh, what, the Leeds United Supporters Club?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Is it time for Hutchinson to come back in after the international break? Is that the right move?
I think there's an argument for it. I mean, Cooper has been better under Harris, but stats say we are a better team with Hutch in there. And if you're saying Hutch has to come back in, I'd rather have Tanganga in there over Cooper. That's where I'm kind of at with it, to be honest.
Absolutely. Rumour saying Spurs willing to sell to us Tanga, problem 10 million though. And there's another comment from Ben saying that I'm sure that JT is out of contract in the summer. I don't
think
know about that.
Spurs have an option to extend it if they want to.
Yes. And there's talk, isn't there, that Ange Postecoglou or whatever his name is wants
Big
to.
Ange. Big Ange.
He wants to have a look at him. So.
Can understand why, from what they've got in their defence, he's kind of quite a similar profile, I think, to a lot of their centre halves.
Absolutely. They have just bought a few, though. They have just bought a few, because they bought the guy from Italy, right? Didn't they?
Yeah, Dragusin and then Van de Ven. But you look past them two and they haven't really got much there, so maybe.
Omar, from where we were right in front of us, Nonto was much more the instigator. I quite agree on the TV that the first time you saw it, you just thought, oh, what's going on here? And then the second time, when they slowed, as I say, Nonto had his arm up in Cooper's face. At the start,
they were both it was six of one, half a dozen of another. But then there was definitely an aggressive movement from Nonto of his elbow towards Cooper, which looked a bit uncalled for from where Cooper was.
Yeah, it's one of those at Elland Road. You're not going to get. He's not going to be sent off. It's just not.
Then it might have been a different story, but
100%. Omar, half night Cooper went on the floor. King Charles to award Nonto United for sticking one on Cooper. And this comment I'm just going to bring up now. This is an interesting topic. But actually, just before I do that, I will bring this one up first. Doesn't JT ever say if he wants to come to us? I don't think so, because it's like with us. We have the option to extend the contract on certain players. So we give them 2+1 and it's up to us to instigate that. I would imagine that Spurs
or
are...
Appearance based or something like that, or goals or whatever.
So I would imagine that Tottenham probably have something very, very similar, where they have the option to instigate a change rather than us. MFC for life. SA isn't going to get a minute, is he? Embarrassing that Longman plays nearly every game. No, he's dog shit. At least have one winger, SA or Mayer at home to have a go. Watmore and Longman are terrible.
They are terrible.
I do actually think that we look better when they come on the pitch, though, because I thought Brook Norton Cuffey was very, very ineffective.
Yeah, he didn't have a good game today, which is a shame, because it was probably a good chance for him.
We went forward a little bit more in the second half, but I agree. Maybe not necessarily that, you know, with Adam Mayer, because you know, he was brought in by the old manager. Harris is probably, I don't know, he's not, he might be his type of player.
At the moment, Harris is using, for where we are, Harris is using the tried and tested.
Yes, 100%. But where SA is concerned, and I know the tried and tested, and I understand that, but today was the first time under Harris's tenure back at the club that we were behind and we were chasing the game and we were looking for a goal. And the four subs that come on, we made four changes, which I don't, look, that's drastic for me. I think that's a real change of, you're changing an awful lot of your team when you do that. But none of them really inspired me that they were going to get us a goal.
No. I was about to say, with all due respect to Casper Dunor, he's a good player, but he's not the player you turn to if you need a goal. And that was the sub I got most excited about coming onto the pitch out of them four.
Yeah, absolutely. It's because he got minutes. In the world of Vile, could Nonto have gone? I think possibly.
Yeah,
possibly.
He would have gone. I think.
But then, on the flip side to that, in the world of VAR, Leeds get a penalty and they have the opportunity to go 2-0 up, and Cooper's probably gets a second yellow.
Yeah.
So it swings in roundabouts. Going back to SA, again, I know we've had
these comments while you speak.
Yeah, it's fine. We speak about SA a lot on here, and some people think he's the saviour. Some people think he's obviously not good enough. Other people say he's played under three managers now, four if you include Barrett, and no one's really given him a regular starting berth. Today would have been an ideal opportunity. And I tell you, in my opinion, why. Because that Archie Gray for them, who's just turned 18, I thought he had quite a good game. He got stuck
he's
in.
He's a good player.
He is a good player. And I'm not comparing the two.
That's not where he plays usually. He's a centre mid.
No. But what I'm saying is that if you're broadcast, he was broadcasting his talent, he was very, very good. What's the worst that could happen? And I wasn't at the game today, so I don't know what the feeling was in the crowd. But when those four subs were made, if anyone was there, Omar, if you're still in the chat, please drop a comment. But did you really think that those four subs were going to actually get us a goal? It changed us and it did make us look better, but I still struggle a little bit with that. And I would like to see a little bit more of SA or Mayer. Either of them, but I think SA more likely than, because he's been in and around the club for a little bit longer.
Peter, on this, I believe the FL can't take any action because it was dealt with by the on-field official on the pitch by him giving him a booking. That's the situation.
Yes, that's correct.
Even if it's not a fair punishment, with the difference was with Joe Bryan, it wasn't spotted by a match official.
Yeah, 100%. So that's why Bryan was done, which again I don't agree with, but.
Yeah, I think we had this question. I think we spoke about this one last week, Stephen. Cresswell, Tanganga on a permanent.
I'm going with Tanganga.
I think I'm team Tanganga as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I said from a business point of view, I might go for Cresswell, but if I want the better player, I'm going for Tanganga.
Yeah, I think Cresswell is still, there's still this loving from how he was last year. He's not played an awful lot of football. I think we've missed the boat with him, and it's time to move on personally.
Yeah. Oh, we have another visitor joining us. Once he's had a bit of beer, he's getting himself he's drying his throat quickly. Watmore is an impact sub. Longman needs to be sent packing. I tend to agree more in terms of the fact that I would have Watmore more of as an impact player. I just don't get what Longman brings to this squad, and the fact Hull was so willing to send him out on loan to another Championship club sends alarm bells ringing to me personally.
Well, I keep mentioning it. I did a show with Mickey. We had the guy who does the whole podcast, and he said he was amazed that another Championship club actually bothered to take him.
I did the preview for that game.
Hmm.
So we had a good discussion about him.
We 100% signed him in the summer, lads.
Don't say that, mate. Here we go. Unfortunately, yeah, that is probably.
If anyone thinks we can afford Tanganga, they're off their heads. He's way out of our budget. Again,
can I chuck a question out to that? So obviously, Edwards brought him to the club. Do you think it was ever in the plan that if Edwards was still here in the summer, we would have signed him on a permanent deal?
I think we might have had more of a chance, but I don't know. It's hard to tell, really, isn't it? You don't know how the players are feeling.
I think there was a strong chance that we might have. I think we, that could have been like one of our marquee signings.
I still think they're going to try to, but I think if Tottenham say that he can leave the club, then they'll go for it. But if Tottenham say no, we want to keep him, that's the end of that. Really, we ain't got the financial power.
Just a question back to both of you then, Michael Obafemi, who was also brought in by Joe Edwards, who is obviously out of favour at Burnley. Yes, okay, Burnley might get relegated and it might be give him an opportunity to play. But do you think there was ever a long-term planning on trying to sign him as well?
The only thing I'd say of Omafemi is Burnley are almost certainly going to go down, right? So
yeah, that kind of changed the complexion there.
Yeah, and he played for Burnley in the Championship. So I'd imagine they may lose. They signed someone, I think, from the Belgian league. They spent a lot of money on centre-forward. I can't remember his name. So I'd
imagine spent a lot of money on a lot of players, which is where they've probably gone so far wrong this season.
I'd imagine him being a young English centre forward, they may keep him.
Yeah.
If and when they get relegated, would be my opinion on that. But yeah. I'd love to have him.
Mm-hmm. But the reason
I asked that just before we move on to a couple more of the comments. And obviously, we have to utilise the loan market to perhaps try and bring in these quality players. Do you think that we should be looking at players and identifying those that maybe we can get in a clause to sign them? Or is it because it's another case of we've had Ballard, who, let's face it, I think we all would have jumped at the chance to sign him permanently at the time or after the season. Cresswell, now Tanganga. It just seems as if we're just basically putting these players in the shop window for someone else to come in and sign them. Do we need to start trying to implement a way of getting them into the club permanently?
Just to counteract that, you're at a point where, unfortunately, that's just where we are as a club. Would we have liked to sign Dan Ballard? Yeah, absolutely. Did we have the funds? Maybe. We didn't want to do it. The Creswells of the world, they're young England internationals. Are we ever going to sign them? Probably not. The Tangangas, I just think that's where we are. We need to try and have a punt on those sort of players that are going to improve us. But if we really want to have a go, then we're going to have to look to sign those players. Do we have the budget to do it? Absolutely not. It's a bit of a catch-22.
I think me and Stephen are thinking the same thing here, talking about budgets, because we actually have...
That leads on to a Leeds fan here, the realist. Leeds fan here, do you think parachute payments are ruining the Championship as a genuine competition? If you take Ipswich's fairy tale season, the three relegated teams are 15 points clear of the rest.
Yeah, every year I think it's... The gap gets bigger, the gap from... Even if the parachute payment teams don't go up, you look at the likes of Watford, West Brom, they're still better. They have ridiculous
Norwich.
Squads. Norwich, there, they have ridiculous squad sizes, the quality of players in their squad. It absolutely is ruining it. Can we change it? No.
You speak about that gulf in class between the divisions. The league leaders, Burnley, who absolutely romped away of it last year and got 100 points, they're going to be coming down now with, I think they're on 17 points now, so I ain't going to get any more than probably, I'd probably say they ain't going to get more than 26 points.
Exactly. And to look at it in a bigger picture, you look at the thing like the vote obviously went through recently. If you're the likes of Luton, would you vote for that? Absolutely not.
No. Luton are the only team that's gone up and had a chance, which, you know, fair play to Luton.
Sheffield United, every year they come up, they batter the league, they look better than everyone else, so they're going to be in the top two, top three, and then they're the worst team that we've ever seen in the Premier League. So, yeah.
Just for 50p's worth there as well, from what I saw from Leeds today, I'm thinking, if that's the best team the division's got to offer, I mean, obviously, I know it's quite tight between themselves and Leicester, and obviously Ipswich are up there. I personally thought Ipswich are a better team than Leeds, from what I've seen when we've played against them this season, but I think if that's the best that the Championship's got to offer in terms of what goes up, that's going to be interesting to see what happens in the Premier League next year.
I think it's also the point is with some of these with clubs, if you like take Hull, for example, Hull have spent a fortune this season in trying to get themselves to the Premier League. They're currently seventh, but I think they've got a game in hand, and they've still got an opportunity to do that. But it will start getting to a point that, and Norwich, again, I know they're in the top six, but again, it's going to be tough to actually get promoted. If you don't get out of this division as a big club, you will be stuck here for a long time if you don't do it the first time. And I think Leeds, Leicester, maybe to a Stoke. Southampton. Yeah, maybe Southampton, but Leeds and Leicester have gone, right, we are making sure we're going to bring in or we're going to keep X, Y, Z players. They refused to sell Nonto, didn't they? There was talk he was going to Everton at the start of the season and he fell out with a manager and you know, it was all problems and this, that and the other. They've gone, no, we're getting ourselves out of this division, and they've kind of thrown the budget at it. But it will get to a point where clubs just won't be able to do that. If Hull don't go up this year, where are they going to go? What are they going to do?
Well, there's already rumours being bandied about, right, that if Hull don't go up this year, that's it. Like, there's, we've kind of heard that, right, that Hull are having a go this year. And if they, as I say, if they don't go up, they're not going to be doing the same next year. They've spent a lot of money. And you've got to be looking at, is that sustainable? Well, absolutely not. Dan mentioned Stoke there. Stoke have been chucking money at it since they've been relegated. Like, they spend north of £10 million pretty much every season without fail. Spend a lot of money every year. Fortunately, again, they've got the owners that want to back it. But
yeah,
it isn't sustainable. Is it good for football? No. But as you say, Stephen, you look at the clubs that come down now. You mentioned Leeds there, but Leicester are the ones. I mean, Dewsbury Hall, I'm not joking. Our Chelsea haven't signed him with the amount of money they've fucking spunked up the wall. It's ridiculous. Like, he could be in England squad. Like, indeed, he was at Liverpool 2 years ago for 70 million quid and he didn't go. Like, it's just next level. Harry Winks, like, he was in Spurs' team for best part of 2 years, right? And he was being lauded about by Spurs fans like he was the next fucking big thing. So you look at all these teams now that we're competing against.
Yeah.
It's almost not about who the people they're getting in. It's about the people they're keeping in the championship.
Mm. We're just, for anyone commenting at the moment, we're going to try and wrap through a few of these comments a bit quicker because we're currently...
There is no way in hell we are paying Joe Bryan first.
Yeah, I've stopped on this comment. We're about 8 minutes behind, so we are going to try and rattle through some of these comments a bit quicker now. But I was just... Charlie, I don't know whether you're allowed to say like where you heard this or whatever. If you can, then obviously be interested to hear it because that's not information that I've been told in terms of how much Brian's earning, because that would make him our top earner by a country mile. From what I've heard. So I'd just be
I thought he was on around the 16,000 to 18,000. But I don't know. Again, I don't know. That's not a confirmed figure.
Don't want to throw you under the bus, mate. If you can say, it'd be interesting to hear.
There's no way. The numbers that everyone seemed to hear about what Jed was offered, right, was nowhere near that. So
no.
I'd be astonished if we were putting Joe Bryan that sort of money.
Casper looked tidy today. He did. I think we're going to come back to that bit later on, aren't we, Stephen?
Mm-hmm.
That one.
Mayer
over Longman. Can't disagree with anything about that. Could Cooper be in trouble with the elbow swing? If this is in the Nonto incident, again, no, because...
It's not. It's not. It's in the incident. No. It's in the incidents with Rutter, where he kind of... He gets the wrong side of him, put his elbow out, but that's 50-50 for me.
The referee did see it. It's like the referee saw, like the referee could have seen that.
I didn't think they could go back if it wasn't a red card, or that they can't now make it a red card, right?
So they could, well, but they did it with Brian, didn't they? They did give Brian a free match ban, so.
Yeah, but that was because of something he said.
No, it wasn't. It was because of he smashed
Sakamoto.
I thought it was because it was something he said to him.
No.
He smashed him in the face.
I think if you go back and retrospectively,
if just before when you hopped off, if you don't get a card, if the ref doesn't give a card for an incident, then they can have a look at it after the game.
I'd be amazed if they went back to that again.
I would.
Question for you here, anyway.
Is it be a second? You know?
Ben, message for you.
Yeah, I've spoken to him. I don't need to answer that on camera.
I don't want to throw you under the bus, mate. Is Omar driving? I believe
yeah, I'm already right driving and he's drinking, so if anyone wants to report his number plate.
I mean, it is quite hard to argue against this. Tanganga would be a very expensive sign if he was to get him. Obafemi is the bollocks. I think he's better than the strikers we've got. He does look to me to be one of the better strikers we've had recently. Don't know if either of you boys want to agree or disagree with that statement.
I think he's looking fitter. And I think there's a couple of times that, especially, and we've seen it in glimpses, but there was a couple of times in the first half, and I know it didn't lead to anything, but where he had given that he was behind the defenders by a considerable way, chasing down the goalkeeper and put them under real pressure. And I just think that we might get him fit for the running, which would be perfect for us, but we might not actually get to see the best out of him because he'll go back.
And let's hope he doesn't get injured when he's away of Ireland, because if he does, then we're in the shit then, because we're going to have to see Ryan Longman probably play on a weekly basis.
Or one of us will get our boots out. I'll play for free. I'll do it.
Couple of beers. I prefer Cresswell to Tanganga. It's quite an interesting one. Might get a poll. Maybe this could be something that we go for on social media. Maybe Ballard, Tanganga or Cresswell. See what everyone votes all over. Exactly. Everyone's like, we need a centre-half. It's just which one. We were better after we made the changes. We had that great chance from the corner. Yeah, we did have a good chance from that corner. And I would agree. We were better after we made the changes, which kind of surprised me, because, I mean, I was expecting us to be a bit better when Casper came on. I was expecting... I think Longman maybe had a slightly better game than I thought he was going to. I didn't really notice Watmore that much, to be honest, though.
On the subject of the changes, sorry, to Dan, just before I forget this, I watching the game, I said, and I think I said it to Ben and Omar when we was up at Blackburn, that we've not been behind under Harris, and we'd not had to chase a goal. I know against Watford last week we were trying to get that winner, but we've not been behind. I was actually quite surprised in the fact that the changes were made and we did look to be more on the front foot. We did throw bodies forward. So maybe, and I know it's only half of a half, but maybe Harris does have a plan B. Maybe there is an option to get us forward.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.